They weren't interested in me. Romantically, sexually, or socially. It was all off limits with those guys.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Tripology. I'm Alan and I'm here with the ever editorial Adam.
Hello, Alan. Editorial. Why'd you say that?
I feel like in recent weeks you've really come into your own as one of editing arm of Tripology. You've been giving me ever so many notes on little things, little bits of processes, the new videos in the studio.
Annoying comments, looking over your shoulder saying, oh, I know you've put 8 hours in, but I think you could do that part a little bit better.
Can you move that audio file just 1 inch to the right, line it up with the video? Yeah, but it's been good. It's nice having you do all that jobs.
Good. All that jobs. Yeah. I think it's really amazing just how much work you can get done when you're both living in the same space.
Well, normally, if I want something done or something changed, or maybe, oh, Adam, I've been thinking about this new like piece of artwork for this thumbnail or whatever, I have to upload that to the cloud. You have to download it. It's all very technical, but it's nice. We're in the same space and we're, you know, working together, collaborating like the Tripology fans love to see us do.
Yeah, and in the same time zone as well.
Mm.
More often than not, I'd be staying up until 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, waiting for you to wake up at 7, 8 o'clock in the morning over in the UK. And then I'd receive a barrage of text messages.
Adam, look at this for me. But, you know, none of this. This isn't what the Tripology audience is interested in. This is administration, the editorial process of getting a podcast up on the airwaves. But what we're about, of course, is two real best friends really traveling. Yeah, let's all go on an adventure. So this adventure is coming to what can only be described as a close, isn't it, very soon?
It is. I'm incredibly sad. I knew that it was going to go quickly.
I'm not leaving this earth. I mean, I'm just going to leave Canada.
Yeah.
Not the adventure of life.
No.
The adventure of life, very much going on. No one's saying the adventure of life is coming to an end. But this trip I've had in Canada, my time is drawing to a close. You're going to drop me off at the little bus station today. I'm going to get on a plane. And then before I know it, hopefully, South Asia, the world, the trip.
Mm. I'm impressed that I'm able to do the podcast, to be honest with you, because I'm deeply sad that you're leaving.
It's emotionally.
Been, yeah, of course. It's been, you know, it just seems to have been 3 weeks in the blink of an eye.
Do you think it's been one of the most fun times of your life?
One of them, yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Oh, I'm really happy to hear it.
No, it's been amazing. It's been inspiring as well. It's been such a long time since we sat down and had a good old chat and a knees up, and we've been out for a few dinners, so we've managed to enjoy ourselves as well as get a hell of a lot of work done.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about your onward journey?
Oh, well, you know, bus rides are always just bus rides, aren't they? I'm so good.
Say they're your forte.
Yeah, I think it's my travel superpower. I'm so somnambulistic when it comes to automobiles. I can instantly fall asleep the second that the bus starts moving.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I'm so the opposite.
I have a very, very specific type of narcolepsy that pertains specifically to buses.
So for me, I can never sleep on transport and I'm also fine with it.
Okay.
So I think that's okay. I think it's a good way to be, isn't it?
You're fine with the absence of sleep on transport. You just think, well, it is what it is kind of thing.
Yeah, through the night on a 10-hour flight, I stay awake the entire time and then I get off the other end. I think, well, yeah, I mean, I know I don't sleep on transport. So it's not like I'm sitting there wide awake wishing I was asleep.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably a good way to be, either your way or my way.
Yeah. I mean, I've always found it very valuable, the idea that I can sleep on a bus. I've
Definitely.
Always thought on a night bus, I can get an easy 10 hours in sometimes.
That's,
you know,
incredible.
Just slumbering.
Completely rejuvenated after the fact.
Wow. Is the quality of the sleep that I'm getting optimal? That's the thing. I feel well rested, but you know.
Are you a napper?
I do not really nap very easily. I was just thinking about it then. I think the only time I can nap is on the narcoleptic bus rides.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not a napper either. I wish I was. People just have half an hour, a little bit of kip, and then they're ready for the rest of the day. I think, fuck you.
Yeah, get out of my life, you napper. I think, yeah, it's an interesting thing. It's probably useful as a traveller to be able to nap, but...
Oh, yeah, completely.
Planes, can't sleep on planes at all.
I think, do you know what it is? I think one of the reasons why I can't sleep on transport, and I guess this pertains specifically to buses and trains, certainly long car rides as well, whilst travelling, obviously, not with
yes,
my family.
Yes,
the safety of my items, my belongings.
That perturbs you.
Well, because if I'm awake, I think there's far less of a chance they're going to be stolen.
Right, okay. But that might just be paranoia. Oftentimes they're stowed effectively. In Canada, I'm not worried about my bag getting stolen necessarily. But, you know, if it bothers you.
Yeah, this is some sort of deep trauma that I'm experiencing, maybe. It's happened never.
Fair enough. Well, no. Once I was on a plane, I understand the feeling of being perturbed and that keeping you awake. I was once on a plane and I looked over and the gentleman next to me watched an entire movie on times 3 speed.
Wow.
How like, not fast enough that it was over in minutes. Like, he was engaged in the movie for a good 45.
Right.
But he's watching it on times 3. All the way through. And it disturbed me so much that I was trying to sleep and I just couldn't because I was like, that's so psychotic. What's happening to my right is so bizarre.
With headphones on?
Yeah.
And everything would have been sped up 3 times. It would have
I think the audio might cease when you speed up.
Yeah.
He had headphones on. He was watching the movie and he was engaged. It was like action scenes. Keanu Reeves was like doing kung fu at triple speed. It was wild to see.
That is mental.
He was watching it.
Well, good on him.
Do you think that he'd seen the movie before and it was just an efficiency thing? He was like, I've seen it before. I like the action, but I don't need the narrative necessarily. I just want to see this quickly. Maybe I can get another few done before the end of the flight.
Yeah, that's probably why. That's probably why. Does he consider that he's seen that movie now if he hasn't seen it before? If that's the first time you're watching a film, that's a very strange way.
If he hasn't seen that movie before, it's even more bizarre. And these are the sorts of things that were rattling around in my brain while I was trying to sleep on the flight. It's like, what is that? What is he trying to create?
The only reason that function exists is so you can fast forward.
Or rewind. Useful to go in both directions, yeah. I think.
I don't think they're expecting people to just watch the entire film sped up.
No, it's very much a place finder, isn't it? Mm. It's like, you know, oh, your meal's come, you've paused, you've gone to something else, and then you go back to it, fast forward to the bit you're up to.
Yeah, I think it's an incredibly strange thing to do. Did you confront him about it?
No.
He definitely knew. We assume that he knew.
He knew that I knew.
No, he knew that it was sped up.
Oh, God, yeah, I assume he knew. I mean, yeah, I hope so.
He said, bloody hell, there's a lot of action in this film.
Wow, Keanu is my new favourite actor. No, I think he knew what was happening. Right. And I think he knew that I knew that he was doing it. And he knew that I thought it was unusual.
Wow.
But like his etiquette on all transport, mm-hmm. I simply stayed looking straight ahead at the seat in front of me and didn't engage him at all.
Do you feel like there's a window of an opportunity to create a conversation with someone that you don't know on transport? And if you miss that window, let's say, you know, for the first half an hour of a journey, you don't speak to someone, it then becomes progressively more weird to strike up conversation. But if you get a little, you know, eye contact and, oh, hi, you're right. Yeah, nice. You never know who might, you know.
Yeah, well, I've heard before that people make a decision whether someone's a viable mate, you know, romantically or sexually, within 7 seconds of meeting them.
7 seconds.
That's the rumour. And I also think the same goes on flights. Like, people make a decision. You've got 5 seconds upon finding your aisle. You've got like 5 seconds to engage. And if that comes and goes, that time, you're never engaging with that person on the flight unless something crazy happens, like an air steward tips coffee all over you both. But on my recent flight here, I sat down, I was like, hey guys, like, you know, get ready for the flight. Oh, and they just went, hey, and then head down. So that was my sign.
Don't engage.
Don't engage anymore. Yeah. You've tried.
You tried your best.
They weren't interested in me. Romantically, sexually or socially. It was all off limits with those guys.
Were you sitting on the aisle?
Yeah.
So you were in control of whether they went to the toilet or
not. Yeah, and it was an 8-hour flight and not once did they get up for the toilet.
Did you get up?
I got up twice.
And they stayed there?
Yeah, they stayed there for the whole time, which makes me think that they knew they held that card from the off. When I engaged them, I was like, hey, guys, they knew we've got iron bladders.
Yeah.
We haven't urinated in 20 hours and we're not urinating on this flight. We don't need this guy.
Yeah, that's a power move, isn't it?
Yeah, if they'd seen me as the gatekeeper to their bathroom experience, they would have been kind and social. But because they knew, I reckon they'd like taken medical supplements to prevent urination because they didn't even hint at getting up.
That's crazy. That is so crazy to me. When I walk onto a plane, if, let's say it's got 200 seats on it or something.
Yeah.
If I walk onto a plane and I'm usually, because I'm cheap and I've paid for some last minute ticket or whatever, and I've not chosen to choose my seat. The people that choose their seats and pay an extra 27 quid.
Yeah.
Where are you getting your money from?
That's just that. Money don't grow on trees, man.
The plane's going in the same direction. Like, you'll get there.
Yeah. I understand. People who are really tall sometimes choose the safety seats, you know, the emergency exit ones.
I don't want to charge tall people for being... I think they should get it for free. If you're over a certain height or you need extra leg room for whatever reason, I think take it. I'm fine.
Take the leg room.
Yeah.
You're above 6 foot.
Yeah.
Have three seats. Lay your legs across the aisle.
But usually what I was going to say, you know, they do it in zones, don't they? They do it in different groups when you enter a plane to sit down. They usually call people up in groups or zones. So I'm normally at the back.
The last zone.
The last zone. And I'll walk in and the vast majority, maybe 90% of the seats are taken now by the people that have already been before me. And I'm looking from quite far away. I'll see what is more than likely my seat.
Yeah.
And on the way down, people are in front of me putting their luggage in the overhead compartments. And I've spotted my seat from a mile away and there's some knobhead sitting next to me. I'm like, oh, please don't be my seat. Please don't be my seat. And lo and behold, it always is.
Yeah.
It's always my, and I've got.
It's always a seat. Always, you know it. You know in your heart that's your seat.
Yeah, I'm like making eye contact with people in other seats. Like swapsies. But I strike up a conversation with people sometimes.
I'm historically unlucky with my co-passengers on airlines. I've very rarely been sat next to someone who I think like, oh, I've made a new friend here and with this captive audience 10 hours on a flight. Usually it's like the loudest, most obnoxious person that I get sat next to.
Right. That's fair enough.
Well, it's not fair enough. It's very much not fair. That's what I'm trying to say. I feel slighted by it. I'm trying to confide in you as a friend, but you know, what can you do? Well, I don't know. I'm getting irate because it's time really for a meditation break, isn't it?
I think so.
Let's do that now.
I'd love to.
Just like that, the conscious mind. Back in the brain box. I love it. Oh, that meditation break, mate. My favourite.
Like you've just eaten a good aeroplane meal.
Aeroplane food. How are you feeling about it?
I like it. I do. I do like it. I put way too much thought into it. Do you want me a little hack that I do? You know, sometimes you get a bread roll and you also get butter.
Yeah.
That's in that little sachet thing, that little pot. So what I do is if it's hot food, I will actually put the butter on top of the hot food, on top of the foil, so that it melts through the heat.
Right.
And then it's much easier to spread.
Wait, on the intact foil?
Yeah. But whilst it's still got food underneath.
So you're using the foil like a frying pan?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, because it's much easier to spread. The worst thing, maybe in the world, is spreading really hard butter on very soft bread, and you just shred it to bits and the knife goes through the slice and you're like, oh,
okay, so I like it. I think it's quite cool.
Creative.
Nice, if anything, to use the butter on a frying pan that's makeshift using foil.
Yeah.
Good. I think you take a lot of time to do very simple things like eat butter.
Yes.
And I respect it about you.
Right.
I also know...
Like, sounds like a criticism, but...
Well, I think that you talk a big game often about being very dynamic, direct, like, oh, I get up, I shoot out the door, I blast off, I just want to see as much as possible. Sometimes it's at 6 a.m, everyone's slumbering and I'm out there. I think you are very, like, proactive. I think you get, like, you're the first one to be like, let's eat, right, let's go the ingredients. Let's get out of the... Oh, let's go exploring. But then, like, the minutia, the little details, like... Putting a coat on, putting some shoes on, or cooking or preparing. Oh, it's very fine-tuned, isn't it? Sometimes it takes a long time.
Yeah, and you're not the first person to say that about me.
Right, yeah. It's amazing, the juxtaposition, because I've met people who are, like, meticulous and take time with everything, and I've met people who are dynamic and let's go. You're the first person I've ever met who's like, Alan, get out of bed. Let's go on an adventure. And I'm like, yeah, okay, let's go. And then suddenly time slows down and I've got my coat on and I'm waiting by the door. And it's like, Adam, where did all the energy go? I'm just I'm just zenning, man. I'm just tying the lace of my shoes. I'm getting slowly. It's like suddenly time stands still. Why is that?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Growing up, I had a bit of a reputation for that kind of thing. It's a shame my parents don't listen to the podcast, but they would love this section.
Really?
Because quite often, my stepdad would say to me, right, Adam, we're leaving at 7 o'clock. It's now 5. Can you start getting ready? Okay, just bear in mind that in 2 hours, we're all going to be walking out the door and it's not going to be 7:05. It's going to be 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, 7:02, they're all in the car. I'm just putting a t-shirt on and they're like, we're going, bye.
Yeah, because it's like, I imagine you would be really excited sat in your seat, like, oh, I can't wait for this airplane food. I can't wait to consume it. And I'm like, yeah, me too. And then I've finished it and you're like, the butter's nearly soft on top of the foil. It's like...
I experience a lot of food envy when it comes to airplane food because sometimes you get two choices, don't you?
You do, yeah.
And I put a lot of thought into it and I'm thinking, okay, just make sure you choose the right thing. You've read the menu. Think about like which one's more healthy, perhaps, if that's even a possibility.
Is it usually vegetarian and non-vegetarian nowadays?
Like nowadays.
Chicken or beef and then pasta.
Nowadays, yeah. And it will change a lot depending on the type of airline you're going with. So one thing I loved about going to Japan is I went with ANA, All Nippon Air,
yeah.
I think they're called. And
they call what?
I think it's All Nippon Air,
okay.
Which is what ANA
stands
for.
Never heard of that one.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. But anyway, I love...
Write in, tripologypodcast@gmail.com.
Cha-ching. I love the fact that my trip started from the airplane food. Because it was Japanese.
Yeah,
that was the cuisine.
Right. Just a little hint of it. Here's what you can expect.
Yeah, the lovely lady came along with a trolley. She's like, would you like a drink, sir? Would you like a beverage? You can have Coca-Cola, or you can have maybe some whiskey, or you can have some water, or you can have some green tea.
Oh.
Well, I am going to Japan.
Are you anti-alcohol on flights, or are you drinking?
I would even go as far to say that I've never had alcohol on a plane.
Really?
Shocking, I know.
You'll be disgusted to hear. I often have a red wine, like, you know, a plastic cup, like little bottle.
Yeah, yeah. That's not disgusting.
Or a gin and tonic.
But how is that, regardless of the time of flight?
Or the quality of the wine, which is why I think you'll be disgusted.
No, I mean, that's fine. Most people will have a little tipple, won't they?
Yeah, well, sometimes I try and establish a rapport with the waitress.
Right.
The air stewardess, you know, or steward. And sometimes.
Or pilot.
Yeah, or the pilot sometimes. I'll try and establish a rapport. And even once I've just said, look, however much alcohol you're allowed to provide me with, I'm going through a rough time.
Yeah.
Can you just give me that amount? Like,
preferably in one glass.
But as.
Pint of vodka, I'd like a pint of vodka, please.
Yeah, you never need to worry about whether I want a gin and tonic. Just always have in your head, 32C wants a gin and tonic, and as long as you can supply it. And I have, you know, my relationship with alcohol, I'm not a heavy drinker at all, am I?
You're not, quite the opposite.
But on a flight, there's something attractive about just the freeness of it.
Oh, okay, so that's what it is. So is that how you justify it then? Because I've always been completely baffled with how people justify drinking a beer at 7 o'clock in the morning in an airport just because they're going on holiday.
Well, airports are timeless. Airports are like
casinos.
Yeah.
Right.
Airports as a building exist without time, don't they? Because people from all different places, all different time zones, that person who's drinking at 7 a.m. might have just come from somewhere where in actual fact it's 4 p.m.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, my experience of going on holiday with my friends when I was younger was that if we'd have a flight going to, say, I don't know, Ibiza or something, we're getting a flight at 9 a.m. so everyone's at the airport at 7 so they can start drinking.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of the square in the corner going, guys, it is still 7 a.m.
Guys, actually, 7 a.m. is a very silly time to be drinking, okay?
But I just never got it. It's like the rules go out the window, don't they?
They do. In casinos and airports, uniquely, these locations are just like anti-time.
Some people now, in terms of the aeroplane food, are very against it. But I've had some good stuff, man.
I think aeroplane food is unfortunately and irresponsibly criticised.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's difficult.
I think it's quite nice.
And it's very difficult as well
to
get it right. Because think about how many things they've got to do. They've got to get something into the space of, I mean, what is it? Like a little pencil case. It's so small.
Yeah.
It's got to be varied. It's got to possibly accommodate various dietary requirements. It's got to be able to be heated and stored and all this kind of, I think they do quite a good job.
And without getting into the real nitty gritty, like nuances financially of the whole thing, the margins are crazy. I remember there's one airline that saved like something crazy. I wish I had the figures in front of me, but it's like north of $1 million from just slicing their lemon wedges in half again.
Wow.
So like the margins, because of the vast quantities of food that they're, you know, storing, shipping, there's so many flights, they saved a lot of money on the old citrus.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That really is amazing.
Thank you. Yeah. It's a fact that I have, that I heard once, don't know if it's true, but I've repeated it now on the podcast as gospel.
Tomato juice. That's what I normally have.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Now tell me why. Is everything okay?
Yeah, I think it's just because I never have tomato juice and I like the fact it's often on a plane.
Yeah,
I don't know why that's ever an option, but normally if they've got that, I'll wait until the very end and I'll say, do you have tomato juice? And they're like, oh yeah. Oh, you betcha.
Oh, tomato juice? We've actually got too much tomato juice. The plane is being weighed down.
It's just strange. Well, then that again is kind of an example of how things go out the window, isn't it? I would never, ever in a million years buy tomato juice in a supermarket, but every time I get on a flight, it's the first thing I ask for.
I love that
weird little vice.
Yeah. It's a vice, yeah.
Yeah.
You're addicted.
With two slices of lemon, please, you cheap bastards.
I think tomato juice is one of those things like carrots turn you orange. I think consuming a vast quantity of tomatoes turns you a bit on the red side.
Like beetroot as well.
Yeah, lots of foods that change people's colours. So that's nice, isn't it?
Just Adam, on that note.
Yeah.
Go on.
Well, difficult to segue from that.
Yeah.
But I'm so grateful for the time that we've had here together. Mm. It's been really beautiful. I've enjoyed it. We've got a lot of exciting stuff done that hopefully we can share with the Tripology audience that we're definitely going to be sharing on YouTube. That's Tripology Podcast on YouTube, youtube.com/@Tripology Podcast. We've got amazing stuff on our Patreon. It's patreon.com/Tripology Podcast. Instagram.
@Tripology Podcast.
And we promote this stuff at the end of the episode. And I think people might go, oh, you know, I'm here for the travel chat, not the social media plugs. But really, you know, support the podcast. Go to those sites. Look at what we have to do. We're posting some cool stuff, some funny stuff, I think, some nice things. So get involved. Be a part of the community. And if you're new here, if you're listening to this, because for some reason, some exciting things have happened that have drawn you into our little podcast community, please, we really encourage everyone to send us what can only be described as an electronic piece of mail to tripologypodcast@gmail.com. We look at all those personally. It's the best way to connect with Adam and I as we travel all about the world.
It is. I love reading your emails, guys. It's so, so wonderful to connect with people and to hear their stories as well. It's so inspiring to read about all of you traveling around the world. It's a lot of fun. So send them in and we'll read them out.
Yeah, we really love it. So me and you, I've been here. We've gone on a cool adventure, haven't we? We've travelled all around Canada. Mm-hmm. We've been in your little car, your little Mazda. It's done ever so well, I thought.
It has. I bought it for not that much money, and I've put a little bit of money into it, but I think it's done incredibly well considering the conditions. I mean, I should take better care of it. I know that. But it's really looked after us, hasn't it?
I've enjoyed that car, yeah. I've noticed a lot. You've been turning down the music quite a lot.
Well, I mean, I like the sound of your voice, Alan.
Is that because you wanted to speak to me and communicate with me?
Yes.
There's been a few times where we've been on the road, like, you know, maybe 6 hours ahead of us in the journey. And I've gone, oof, crank the tunes a little bit. And I think subconsciously, maybe you'll be driving along and inevitably you'll sort of reach over, turn it down a few notches. Is that because you wanted to encourage conversation, or is it because you hate music?
No, it's not because I hate music. It's because I wanted to concentrate on the drive.
Okay.
And enjoy the beautiful scenery. And it was disturbing, my experience.
My taste in music.
No, because, well, it is kind of your taste in music, but yeah. Tripology listeners, we were playing actually a CD on repeat that Alan made.
Well, it's a compilation CD that I got for you for your birthday.
Yeah, which was incredibly sweet of you. Alan hasn't been in my car as much as I have, and I've heard that CD probably somewhere around 700, 800 times.
Yeah.
But for some reason, it detracts from my driving ability if okay. the music's really loud.
Because you're like no headphones in on a bus kind of thing. You never have
also true, the entertainment, yeah.
right? So for me, I would always have music on a drive. But it was good to talk to you. It was like a big, long episode of Tripology in that car, wasn't it?
It was. It was exactly like that. And that's what I was saying at the beginning of the episode. It's so nice to just be able to brainstorm in real time. Ooh. Just sit down, have a coffee in the morning, and the ideas are just coming out of every orifice, aren't they?
Yeah, well, quite.
You can't say that, Adam.
But yeah, I think me and you have a cool little friendship in that we're often bouncing things off each other. You know, oh, Adam, I'm thinking about starting this new business. It involves a crazy business model that's never been done before. And you're like, you're out of your mind, Alan. And I'm like, no, you're out of your mind. And then I grab the wheel and we're wrestling all over the road and it gets all hectic and crazy. It's fun being friends, isn't it?
It is, very much so. And long may it continue. That's the other thing I was going to add when you were talking about the ways in which people can join the community is that we're experimenting as well. And we enjoy that. We're trying out a load of different things, and let us know what you think.
But with the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to be totally clear. I mean,
the Patreon would be a little bit more expensive. Being a part of us and the growth and the podcast and stuff, it's going to be exciting things over the next few years.
Of course it is. And I think we've been doing a lot of different projects recently that involve talking about travel into a microphone. Hopefully we can share those with the Tripology audience. Definitely going to share it with the Patreon audience. Yeah. And the cool thing about it, I think, is it's made Tripology, is increased again my level of acumen and love for Tripology.
Yeah, like I said before, mate, it's Tripology now feels like a day off because of how many things we've been doing. So it's just nice to reconnect over the mic and give, I think, Tripology some more energy,
like
a different angle, a different kind of feel. And we're starting to see the shape it may take. So all that in mind, you going away to do something incredibly exciting that I'm very envious of.
South Asia really soon. A little bit of a switch of plans. I don't think Myanmar's on the cards anymore on accounts of some timing issues and border crossing issues.
But we'll get you there one day, mate.
Nepal first. And then meandering down. We'll definitely go to Bhutan. We'll definitely go to Bangladesh. We'll definitely go to India. We'll definitely go to Sri Lanka. I'm going to try and be there for about between 6 months and a year.
And who would not want to listen to those updates? We're all going to be living vicariously through you. And I promise you, I will chase you there as quickly as I can.
Nice. I love to hear that. And if there are listeners who love Tripology, I want you to promote this podcast like it's your own. I want you to go out. And if people say, you know, you meet someone in a hostel, I want you to say, have you listened to Tripology podcast? And if they say, no, I've not, you've got to be like, what? Sorry? You've not heard Tripology podcast, but you've got an Osprey backpack and you're meandering about the world? Well, please, goodness, rip up your passport. Get on the podcast, Spotify, Apple, Google. There's so many places to listen and you've not listened.
That's what I want it to be like. Yeah, well, that's rather on the nose.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, if you're listening to this and you think other people would benefit from it, absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's not disingenuous. I think that people will like it.
Oh, good.
I just think they have to be with kindness and love, ruthlessly peer pressured into listening.
Yeah, it's for sharing. And I like the fact that some people would say the world is small, but I would also say we all go the same sort of places.
The world is both vast and small simultaneously. Did you know that if you took planet Earth and scaled it down to the size of a ping pong ball, the Earth would be smoother?
I don't believe it for one second.
It's true, though, because the ping pong ball, no ping pong ball can be machined to be smoother than the Earth would be scaled down, because the distance between the highest mountain, Mount Everest, and the lowest point, the Mariana Trench, that's actually not that much of a disparity. It's only like 7 miles or something.
That's crazy.
So if you shrink it all down, compact it, the world's so big and a ping pong ball is so goddamn tiny that it'd be smoother.
So I wonder if you scaled up a ping pong ball to the size of the Earth.
Great big mountains.
How big, though?
As big as Everest and then some. It would be much, much larger than Everest, much deeper than the Mariana Trench, and much more beautiful than anything you've ever seen. Great big smooth alabaster landscapes, the white surface of a ping pong ball. Imagine the journeys you could have.
They must know the answer to that, surely, simultaneously. That was like the next question. Someone at the board meeting said, well, hang on, after finding out that information, we should probably investigate... No one's ever thought it before.
You're the first. If you'd have said that at that board meeting, they'd have gone, oh my God, we can scale up a ping pong ball to the size of planet Earth. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to think of, isn't it? And I liked thinking about it with you. Adam, you've got to drop me off at the bus station. I've got to get to Vancouver and then get on a plane.
I'm devastated, but I'll do it. Oh, I'm the man for the job.
We're late. I've not packed. I've not done any laundry. I've not got any clothes to wear. I'm feeling, frankly, too energized now. So the person on the bus next to me is going to get a right rollicking earful about ping pong balls and planet Earth.
Gin and tonic, please.
I'm going to be shaking it. Get me a gin and tonic. Have you heard about planet Earth? You don't know about the Mariano Trench. It's going to be crazy. I've loved being here with you. Thank you so much for having me as a guest in your house. That was on the hand. That
very,
kiss.
Very welcome, mate. My pleasure. You are the most wonderful guest, and you're welcome anytime, of course.
Amazing. I don't know about you, but today, more than any other set of present days, is starting to feel a little bit melancholy. In not small part because we're about to depart each other's company, but. Do you know what? The beautiful thing about it is just over the horizon, just peeking over, there's a nice little bit of sunshine. I think it might be...
time to leave.
Yeah, next week's episode. Yeah, we'll see you there. We'll go there now. Bye!